This is an iHeart podcast.
I have something you can feel good about tonight. You ready for some good news? We'll talk about that. We have General Michael Flynn here. Oh man, it is a spicy show tonight, and I'm right. You know what I find inspiring? You know what I find, I don't know, it creates in me like this feeling that I'm failing or not doing good enough in a good way. You know what does that for me? Fat people, when I see them jogging, that's what does that for me. When I'm driving, it just happened to me today on the way to work. Driving to work, fat lady on the sidewalk, she's huge, and she's out there jogging. And you could tell she's suffering. In pain, but out there going through pain, putting in the work to make herself better. And I've been out of shape before. My body type does not lend me to ever being fat, but I've certainly been fat, just a longer version of it. I've been out of shape before, and I've been there before, just starting back in the gym, starting working out, and it sucks, friggin' sucks. And the worst part is this. Today, probably as we speak right now, that lady's at home. She's back home. Hopefully she made it. Her feet hurt. Body hurts. Knees hurt. She doesn't feel good. She feels better than she did, but she doesn't. She's not laying around at home thinking, I feel great right now. She's looking down at herself. She knows, dang it, I'm still fat. Everything hurts. And this is the critical moment for her. This is going to go somewhere. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. But this is the critical moment for that woman. She can look down right now at herself and feel all the pain, and she can quit, or she can realize that the pain is making her better. She's beginning, so she doesn't see it yet. You know, she's not a dime yet. She doesn't see it yet, but it's coming if she'll just stay with it and keep doing the work. Let's talk about you. And let's talk about me. How many days do we sit here, Stu and me, screaming about the GOP, the low T GOP, GOP sucks, GOP this, GOP that, and all those things are warranted. All that stuff is true. The GOP does suck. Democrats are evil. Republicans are useless. Everyone knows this. The GOP is stupid and useless, and they're weak, and they never fight back for us. All that stuff's true, yes. However, there are, right underneath the surface, good things beginning to happen inside of the GOP as far as changing the face of the GOP. It's happening at school board levels across the country. You don't get headlines about that. It's happening at state levels. Right here in Texas, here in a little while, we're going to have Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton on. We'll talk to him about this. But right here in Texas, we had a bunch of rhino losers in the state GOP. A bunch of them got bounced in their primary races. It's already happening in the House and the Senate. A lot of the older loser types, the Mitt Romney types, they're retiring. They're getting out. Change is coming. We are fat right now. We're fat. It hurts. And we want to look good and we want to feel good now. But we are beginning to put in the work. And you should feel better about this. In fact, let's talk about all this when it comes to this Mike Johnson stuff, because that's all over the news today. Marjorie Taylor Greene had a little sit-down powwow with Mike Johnson. Who knows what kind of boring stuff they talked about in there. He's going to try to get her to avoid vacating her seat. She, whatever she's doing. Anyway, we talked to Chip Roy about it last week.
Everybody says, oh, the sky's going to fall. You don't have a speaker. What will you do? I don't know. Stop screwing up the country. Stop making it worse. Stop spending money we don't have. Stop empowering freaking, you know, a new FISA bill. Stop giving money overseas. Like, how much worse can it get? The MTV, the motion to vacate, from my standpoint, I wouldn't have used it last fall. I was very public. I thought, Kevin, while not perfect, we were moving the needle in the right direction. Okay, we had the fight. We picked a guy that on paper was, you know, more conservative. And unfortunately, for 6 months, it's been a complete failure. Look, I think we need to have a whole new fresh start in the GOP next January. We need to beg the American people to vote for us because the other side is so bad. We need to beg that they will give us power, and then we need to actually form a structure that will allow us to deliver. That means wholesale changes. We're working on some of that right now.
We're working on it. How should you feel about the whole Mike Johnson debacle? Well, specifically, you shouldn't stress about it, this specific story. Mike Johnson is probably not going to go anywhere. Mike Johnson, yes, he is a Democrat's dream. He's a Democrat's dream. He's passing everything they want passed while at the same time giving them cover because the GOP controls the House. So he's passing everything on the Democrats' wish list, funding the FBI, Ukraine, you name it, nothing for the border. He's doing everything Speaker Hakeem Jeffries is doing, yet taking all the blame because Republicans hold the House. So he's not going anywhere. But even if he was, you shouldn't stress it. Anyway, you want any more? You want more evidence that Democrats want in there? Here's Grandma Vodka.
Madam Speaker, how are you?
How are you, Chad?
Good. Good to see you. Do you support Leader Jeffries' move to support the Speaker, the current Speaker, on the motion to table?
I support our leader. I think he's very much in touch with our caucus, and yes, I will support him.
What does this say about Speaker Johnson if he has to turn to the minority party to survive?
He doesn't have to turn to the minority party. What the minority party is saying is we support the integrity of the House of Representatives, and we will not let it be littered by nonsense.
Looks like Nancy was having a pretty good morning anyway. So, yeah, look, Hakeem Jeffries, in case you think I'm just reading too much into this, Hakeem Jeffries flat out came out and said it. Yeah, we're going to protect him. Why wouldn't we protect him? He's doing everything we want.
Even though we're in the minority, we effectively have been governing as if we were in the majority because we continue to provide a majority of the votes necessary to get things done. Those are just the facts.
It keeps getting them the votes. It keeps whipping up the votes. Every Democrat thing. Remember Chuck Schumer went on the Senate floor and said we didn't cut a nickel. He gives them everything. Okay, so it's bad, right? I got it. It's bad. However, no matter how this turns out, things are changing. The next Congress, whether Democrats control it or Republicans control it, you know at least two gentlemen who won't be there anymore for sure. Mike Gallagher and Ken Buck. Mike Gallagher and Ken Buck, two gigantic losers who've been part of the problem forever. Why aren't they there? They're retiring now. Retirement after retirement after retirement. The old GOP knows its days are numbered and they are being removed. I want us to stay involved in primaries and get involved in primaries. If you're upset about the useless GOP, get out and go for a run. Most of the GOP primaries have not even happened yet this year. Did you know that? Did you know that you and me, we have the ability to remake every single GOPer in the House if we want? We have all the power with our votes right here. If we get off our butts and start participating, I should say keep participating, because we're slowly but surely getting better. You're mad about this, no border security. You're mad about no spending, endless money for Ukraine and Taiwan, Israel. Everyone gets money except the working men. You're mad that the GOP can't speak forcefully about anything except for anti-Semitism on the campus at Columbia. I'm mad about all these things too, but what are we going to do about it? Are you just mad about getting fat, or do you want to go for a run? We're running. People have been running. Normal people just like you have been digging in slowly but surely, getting more involved and going for a run. Look, we can point out all the problems and we will. You know, we're happy to do that on the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. I just wanted to encourage you tonight, get involved if you're not. If you haven't gone for that first run, go for that first run. If you've already gone for it, you're starting to get involved and every day you're disheartened. Mike Johnson sucks. Mitch McConnell sucks. Everything sucks. Yeah. It sucks after the first run. It really does. You're not bikini ready after one run. It's not how it works. However, you've taken the first huge step in the right direction. And we anti-communists on the right, we have taken the first huge step in the right direction. Keep running, all right? Get up tomorrow and do it again. By the way, I said all that. Don't go for a run if you're really fat. It's bad for your joints. Just go out and go for a walk, okay? Just a nice long walk. You'll probably enjoy it. All right? all that may have made you uncomfortable, like that run would, but I'm right. We have a huge show for you tonight. Let's talk to Texas's attorney general. They came after him. The system came after him hard, and he didn't do anything wrong. Why? Before we get to him, let's talk about this. Let's talk about coffee. Do you know what I have in this mug right here? This is my blackout coffee. And now, what I've started to do, because I love it so much, I want it with me on my drive to work. I want my blackout coffee to drive to work with me. So now I've delayed my second cup of morning coffee. I'll have one, wait a few hours, and then I pour my second cup just so it can ride with me on the way to work. Patriotic coffee. The best coffee I've ever freaking tasted in my life from a company that actually loves my country the way I do. Go. They have cool swag. Check out their mugs. They have the best coffee. They'll deliver it to your front door. 20% off your first order. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse is how you get that. Go. We'll be back. We talk way too much about the federal government. And look, I talk about it every day too. And I care about it, not saying don't care, but our states, especially our red states, they are the last bastion of freedom on this planet. It's not the country itself. New York isn't a freedom for anything. Texas, that's a place where you can still find it and hopefully find some people who will protect it. We have a good AG here, a great one. Ken Paxton is his name. Mr. Attorney General, he joins me now. Okay. The states themselves, I say that we are in a unique position to fight for freedom because of the state system in this country and because of AGs like yourself who are actually willing to take some risks. What say you?
I think you've got a really good point. It's unusual. I mean, you don't find this in other countries where states actually created the federal government. In other countries, the federal government was created, and then they created the states if they have them. Here, it's just the opposite. So the states gave certain powers to the federal government. We reserved the rest to ourselves. So we have an obligation as states to protect ourselves from the federal government taking on too much power, which they do every day. So that's why we have this opportunity. And if we don't take it, then we will end up with a federal government similar to other countries, Venezuela, you pick it, China. It's going to be similar because their tendency is always to grab more power and more control.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about power and control. For those who don't know, as the AG and myself do, Austin in Texas is a different kind of a place. It used to be a really fun city, but it's definitely towards the left. Now it's gone full-blown North Korea commie, and now they've declared themselves a sanctuary city so doctors can chop off the penis of young boys. What should the state government, maybe even an attorney general, do when a city within its borders goes nuts and starts to mutilate children?
Well, the state has actually done something about it. The legislature passed a bill. The governor signed it last session. It went into effect in September. And so it is illegal now for medical institutions and other providers of medical services to do the very things you were just talking about. They can't issue cross gender hormones. They can't do sex change surgeries. They can't use hormone therapy. And if they do, we can sue them and try to stop them. That's what we're trying to do here.
You have taken on a role of protecting Texas and Texans from an overreaching federal government. What are some examples of that?
So there's numerous. I think we are currently in 73 lawsuits with the Biden administration, at least from the beginning of his administration till now. That's a lot of lawsuits, and they're all very similar. It's really one issue. It covers immigration. It covers, you know, Title IX. It covers the ATF that we just sued. So the topics are different, but really the topic is the same, and here's what it is. The Biden administration can't get something through Congress. It would never pass with the elected representatives. So instead of just acknowledging that the people of this country don't want it, Joe Biden says, and his officials say, no, we don't really care about that. We'll do it through an agency, and we'll issue an executive order. It's unconstitutional, but, you know, good luck stopping us. And so then we have to sue them and try to stop them. That takes time. We might win. We usually win. And then they just change it up and make us do it again. So they have no respect for the rule of law, what Congress has passed, and they have no respect for their constitutional role. They would prefer the absolute control be in the hands of Joe Biden and his administration.
Mr. AG, could you explain what they did to you, Ken, when a lot of people found the timing to be very interesting given the things you were looking into, and then all of a sudden this completely cockamamie impeachment comes up for you in Texas, which of course got shot down, but it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. We talked about it all the time. And the timing, I sure found the timing to be very interesting. Did you?
Yeah, there's no doubt there was no coincidence in the timing. We, first of all, had been very successful in our fight against Joe Biden, stopping these illegal activities, unconstitutional actions, and the destruction of people's lives through open borders and allowing drug trafficking to become prevalent to kill our kids. And so I think the Biden administration sent people here. There were two of them working on the Republican committee. Two of the four lawyers came from the Department of Justice. There's no doubt that that was not an accident. Secondly, we have lawsuits against Google, Facebook, and other big tech companies. I think they played a hand in this. And I also think the fact that I was announcing an investigation against Pfizer for some of the misleading information that they provided to consumers about the effectiveness of their vaccine. We announced the investigation May 1st. By the end of May, I'm out of office and I can't do anything. And that lawsuit, the potential lawsuit, dies until I have the opportunity to come back and start it up. And then we did sue them. So all of these big companies and these big government cooperatives were involved in making sure that there was a real effort and lots of money behind trying to take me out.
Yeah, I think so too. Could you explain to me why John Cornyn and many like him is a thing in red states in Texas? And I don't just want to pick on our state, obviously, but these people exist across the country. These red states elect these completely useless losers into these gigantic positions, and it hurts us when we should be having senators like you. Instead, we have senators like John Cornyn. Why does this happen in our state?
Well, look, John Cornyn is there for one reason. The Bushes put him there. He did their bidding when he was on the Texas Supreme Court. He was put there by George W. Bush, and it was to get through something called Robinhood, where it was wealth redistribution for the schools. Bush didn't want to do it because he wanted to run for president because it involved a large tax increase and also the transition of money from certain school districts that had more to certain districts that had less. It was complete socialism. And he did it for him, and his reward was to become AG and then become a U.S. senator. And he's continued in that line. Why the voters have not replaced him? One is it's expensive to run against a guy like him. And two, you know, he just has not had real competition. And now he's got a record of 14 years, not only as AG, but I mean, literally 14 years as a senator. And I think it's pretty clear there's nothing good happening for the state of Texas.
Do you anticipate any established challenger for him in the primary? I understand he has one coming up in 2026. I'm extremely invested in that. Do you foresee anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's going to have a more conservative challenger. It's a race that can be won. And I think just highlighting his record is pretty much all it takes for the voters of, at least in a primary, to understand that if we're going to have two state senators, we got one really good one, Ted Cruz. Sure be nice for Texas, one of the more conservative states, to have a similar type senator, which we have failed to have for those 14 years that John Cornyn has served.
Yeah, it sure would be. I wish we could just clone Ted and put him in there, or maybe Senator Paxton. Either way, Senator, or Attorney General, I'm sorry. Thank you so much. I appreciate you sitting in for us. All right. Well, I seem a little peppy today. I am a little peppy. Do you know why? Dream powder. It's not drugs. I swear on my life, it's not drugs. Have you heard of this? Beam, they do amazing stuff. And they have this stuff called dream powder. And I mix it in a little glass of milk. I warm up a little glass of milk. And it's cinnamon chocolate. It's basically hot chocolate is what it tastes like. Except it's not just hot chocolate. It has all these natural, healthy things in it to make me sleep. But I can't usually take stuff like that because they knock me out. And I wake up and I'm a mess. I can't think. I'm all groggy. I feel drunk. It's awful. Not dream powder. I just kind of drift off to sleep like a little bitty baby. And I wake up 8 hours later feeling like a million bucks. I've never experienced this with anything I take to sleep in my 42 years on the planet. Go get yourself some dream powder. Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. That gets you 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
security advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today to lying to the FBI.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced life in prison.
Does my heart well to see the general back out there still fighting for it. Joining me now, General Michael Flynn has this movie out, which I would highly recommend, flynnmovie.com. Go tune in. General, it's an honor, sir. For people who are not aware of your career, everyone knows your name by now. You are infamous, yeah, as they would say. But for those who don't know about your career, what is your background before you hooked up with the President Trump?
Yeah, my background was really... 33 years in the Army. I spent 5 years in direct combat operations overseas, everything from Central America, the Caribbean, Central Asia, of course, the Middle East and places like Iraq. Spent some time on six continents. I have served in the Airborne, 82nd Airborne Division. I've served in Special Operations Forces. And I've served in at some of the most senior levels in the military, to include rising to the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is the most senior military intelligence officer in the Department of Defense. And that particular position, I was chosen by Barack Obama himself. And so I had a really great career. I loved serving in the military. I was born on a military base, Jesse. My father served in World War II in Korea. Both of my grandparents served in World War I. One of my grandfathers served in World War I and World War II. And really since World War II, with the exception of probably the Bay of Pigs, and we have had a Flynn serving in every conflict or every war since World War I. So that's the story of my family and a part of my story. In service to country in uniform. And then, of course, I made the huge mistake of getting involved in politics, right, with this, with this these horrible people that are involved in politics, my God. And but I did. I did because there's one thing that I firmly believe in, and I saw happening to our country, because I'm a student of history, world history, and U.S. history, and I am a I've been in the world. I've been in the intelligence field for a long time, so I've studied many of our adversaries and our opponents overseas. And I never thought, as I state in the movie, I never thought that the worst enemy that I'd ever face would be right here at home. But what has happened is we have allowed ourselves to become complacent and lazy in this country, Jesse, and that's every American, frankly. I include myself in there. And we have just let these politicians run roughshod over our country for the last 50 years, really since post-World War II, everything. I mean, everything from taking over our education system, taking over our law enforcement, taking over our healthcare systems. I mean, every single aspect of who we are as a nation and what we're supposed to be as a society based on a set of values and principles. And we just lost sight of all of that. And that's the real message in this movie. The movie is a phenomenal movie. I mean, it's, you know, I'm humbled by the feedback. I worked very hard with my team of people. The producer of this movie, Scott Wiper, who is a Hollywood guy, actually, I looked very high and low for the right person to do this, to tell this story. And I didn't want somebody sort of on the conservative documentary side. I wanted somebody who really, you know, saw me from afar, but was a good storyteller, and I found the right guy. It took me about 3 years to actually discover a director, producer, Scott Wiper, and he's not really well known in Hollywood. He's done he did The Big Ugly and some other action films, but he's a great person, and he was sort of in the left, not progressive crazy left, but he was on the left side of of life in terms of political ideology. And I wanted him to bring his team. And it was, we worked hard to get that team here because Hollywood would not, you know, they did not want to have this group of guys and gals telling this story. And so they felt a lot of pressure, but they told it. And with my family, and I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but there's a really intimate portrayal inside of my family in this movie. And it really shows the strength and the resilience of a family when a family bonds together, what they can do, you know, what they can achieve. And like my sister Mary says toward the end of the movie, you know, if the Flynns can fight this darkness out of our lives, then the American people can bond together and fight this darkness that we're facing right now out of our lives here in America, because we're facing darkness. We're facing dark times, folks, if we don't get our act together. And this movie is a portrayal of the corruption that we face, that I face, certainly, but we all face. And people, and I'll finish with this part, Jesse. People come up to me all the time and thank me for my service, and I'm so appreciative of that. And I'm humbled by it. But I turn around to people and I tell them, how are you serving today? What are you doing to serve this country? And the other thing is that people tell me that they're sorry for what happened to me. And I tell people, look, I'm not sorry for myself. I don't stand as a, I've never been a kid that was taught to feel sorry for yourself. It's, you know, you get knocked down, get back up. But what I tell people is I feel sorry for what they did to the American people and what they did to the United States of America, because when they came after me and they took me out, they left a huge, huge vacuum for Donald Trump to fill, and he never was able to fill it. And I think he found himself kind of like I say in the movie, I was a little bit of a lone man on an island by myself. I think Donald Trump actually felt that way at times during his presidency. And I know that he feels that way now because although he might feel like the American people are behind him, believe me, there are times, there are going to be moments when he's alone and he's thinking to himself, can I get through this? Trust me. I mean, he's a human being as I am. And what we're facing is we're facing an ungodly amount of evil that has permeated the fabric of the United States of America. And we're the last bastion. I say, you know, I use a military term. We're the last redoubt of defense of freedom. And if we don't get this, we don't get these next 6 months right, Jesse, and you've been at the forefront of this. We don't get these next 6 months right. We're going to find ourselves calling, you know, the United States of America, the United Socialist States of America, because we're heading to and socialism is probably too soft of a word because what some of these people represent. So anyway, I'll stop there. It's enough of an opening for you.
No, that's everything I needed, General. I want people to go get the specifics, find out just how dirty and evil this corrupt government has become. I want people to go to FlynnMovie.com, watch it, General. I have so much respect for you, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. FlynnMovie.com, all right? All right. Now, we have many, many, many other things we have to get to. Protests and other spicy things. Before we get to those things, let's get to this. Let's get to you. Speaking of corruption, these dirty timeshare companies, they trap you in. You know, they never tell you when you sign up that you can't get out. And they never even indicate that you can't get out, do they? They never tell you it's permanent. And then you go, you buy your timeshare, you use your timeshare, and then eventually you're done with it, and you try to get out, and they tell you, no, you can't, you're not allowed. Not allowed? What? Oh, yeah, read the fine print, you're in it for life. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. This is not only a family business, I love family businesses, prefer them. This business has been helping people for a long time, over 20,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently out. You know how successful they are? You know what their percentage is? 99. 99% of the time, they legally and permanently get you out. Call Lone Star Transfer. They'll set you free. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
And she has the audacity to be in front of me while I'm, like, recording this. What the f***? This is actually f***ed up. I hate white people. I swear to God, if they write about me, I'm calling it racist, because
You're just a white person. We don't like white people. That lady looks like a powdered donut. What's going on college campuses? Joining me now, Marissa Streit. She is the CEO of the amazing PragerU. I love them. And actually, she went to UCLA. They would never let me in a school like that, but they did let Marissa in there. Marissa, what's going on in this university? This is always some fancy college campus. My wife did gymnastics meets and stuff out there. That's where all the smart kids went.
Well, you just made me like donuts even less now. Describing this woman as a powdered donut. What is going on? You know, I'll tell you, I hate to admit this, but it's been almost 20 years since I went to UCLA. I would say that I am not shocked. I'm upset and disappointed, but I'm not shocked. I mean, we have lost our education system to the radical left, and it has started many, many years ago. And now we are seeing the results of years of anti-American indoctrination. And it's out of control because we've lost control many years ago. And this is the manifestation of that. And so these protests are not necessarily only anti-Israel. They're anti-West, they're anti-America, and these kids have been taught since they were in kindergarten to hate our values, to hate the values that have made Western civilization what it is today. You see, when they're chanting anti-West, anti-American, anti-white, anti-Judeo-Christian values. All of that stuff is all part of that chant. So for those who are upset, I totally get it. For those who are surprised, I think that you've had your head in the sand if you're surprised.
You are so right. I keep saying that. I can't believe how much shock people see out there. What did you think was happening on these campuses? Marissa, places like UCLA when it happens, Columbia, NYU, Harvard, while yes, they're places that would never welcome someone like me, they are sadly important for a society because that's where our CEOs come from. You know, that's where our senators come from. Societal leaders go through these elite schools. How could we as Americans be so asleep at the wheel that we allow these institutions to turn into the dirty jockstrap where we filter all of our leaders in society through? How could we be asleep for so long?
You know, the question that I want to ask is whether these universities are actually as important as we think they are. If you think about it, they train kids for jobs that don't even exist anymore and we don't even need. You have professors who have very little life experience. I rather have you teach my kids than many of these professors. So do we really need them? Are they really the beacons of our society? Is it really a place where we can send our children and trust that they're going to get skills that are going to help them live a happier, better, more successful life? The answer has been no. You know, interesting, I have a friend who graduated from an Ivy League college, and she is very, very seriously thinking about suing this Ivy League college for destroying its reputation, because she spent so much money on actually going to this college, and she's saying they're actively allowing these colleges to be just a complete disgrace. She's embarrassed to put the name of this college on her resume. So I think that we need to take a deep look at these organizations and realize that they're rotten to their core, and they may not exactly be that important to our culture and our society anymore. We might have to come up with a new roadmap for our children so that they go to institutions that actually do support our values and do protect our rights and celebrate Americanism, not teach anti-Americanism.
Okay, along those lines, on a macro level, isn't that happening, and isn't it good news? PragerU's never been bigger. The reputation of Harvard has never been worse. Obviously, these things don't happen as fast as you or I would like them to happen, but they are losing credibility, right? And people are seeking out alternate sources. There's never been more homeschooling. The trends, many trends in education, are going our direction, right?
You would hope so. You'd hope that people are going to wake up. We are seeing people waking up. As you mentioned, more people are homeschooled. I mean, some people are just so attached to these institutions that it's going to take them a moment. Sure, there's a silver lining. I mean, nobody emerges from hell empty-handed. And so these organizations have gone so far off the deep end that Americans who are paying attention are saying what I'm saying. Hey, I may not send my kids to these colleges. I may send them to a trade school so that they actually get something tangible that they can actually make money and have a career with, as opposed to a diet of left-wing garbage. So yes, I do think that there is a silver lining in it, but organizations like ours, PragerU, could not be busier than ever before, because we're trying to wake up as many Americans as possible before they send their kids into lion's den. And I'll tell you, the concern with the colleges is the anti-Americanism, you know, anti-Israel, which is an ally of the United States, anti-Semitism, but it's not just that. It's the steady diet of victimhood and left-wing garbage that kids are getting for 4 years. You ask CEOs like me around the country, and you will hear that we are getting graduates from these colleges that are, you know, frankly, many of them can't work. They you know, they're so focused on themselves. They're weak, they're fragile. If you say anything to them that is offensive, they crawl into a ball. And so, I mean, what do you do with a workforce that comes out of a four-year indoctrination center that just tells them how to seek the victim within themselves?
In what way are parents changing, and are they changing for the better? And I asked this for this reason. I was at a party this weekend, just neighborhood party, standard boring crap. It was video or games and beers and burgers, that kind of crap. And there were a lot of parents, all teenage kids, graduating soon. And there was still a lot of bragging, subtle suburban bragging about where Aiden, Jaden, and Braden were going to get to go to college. And I don't generally pipe in there. Everyone knows what I do, so I just keep my mouth shut. But I was sitting there watching these people brag about this one kid was getting into Stanford, and I was thinking, do they know? Do they know and not care? Do they think it's not real? Do parents really not know how bad it's gotten?
I think America in general knows. But if you're talking about rich elitists that live in a bubble where all of this stuff doesn't impact them because they have connections, where even if their kids learn nothing for 4 years, they're going to land them a job somewhere or inherit a bucket load of money, you know, for them, it doesn't have that much of an impact. Most Americans need to send their kids to a school where they can actually come up with a trade and a tangible way to earn a living later on. So this is another one of those typical examples where there is a huge disconnect between America and American kids and the elitists that go to these parties and don't really realize what is actually going on, because what is happening doesn't impact them as much, right? If you're a middle class and lower, these things will really impact you. If you come out with no skill and idiotic ideas, that's going to really harm you for the rest of your life. If you're going to have a trust fund from your parents and you're effectively a loser and it doesn't even matter what you do, then it may not impact you as much. And so I think, you know, it really comes down to the fact that some people live in a bubble, and so they don't even bother to see the destruction of America. It doesn't impact them as much. You can see that with the public schools. Take the public schools. You know, how many wealthy people care really about what is happening in the public schools? How many of them are paying attention to the fact that the standards of education have been lowered every single year in the name of DEI or equity, right? Like, can you imagine a CEO running a business and saying, well, this year we're not going to meet our standards. And in order to meet the standards, you know what we're going to do, my friend? We're going to lower the standards. And that way we will meet the standards. That is basically what education in public schools in America has been, right? It's like, let's make some sort of reason why we need to lower the standards and expect less of American students so that we can claim that we're successful. But, you know, the wealthy that send their kids to elite private schools and have tutors, et cetera, that kind of garbage policy doesn't impact them as much. And I think that these things will start impacting more and more elitists, because now we are starting to see actual violence, right? Once you start seeing actual violence, then the elitists are going to start realizing, wait a second, my neighborhood, that fancy school that I'm sending my kids to is scary. It's scary, right? I'm spending all this money to send them there, but now they're also not safe. And hopefully this is going to be this silver lining and moment in time where Americans, both the wealthy and the poor, come together and say, let's defend America, okay? Let's defend America. Let's defend Western civilization values. We've all come here for a reason if we're immigrants. We love this country. If we were born here, we're dedicated to our country, which we love. Let's defend America together. Maybe this is the hardship that we need to go through as Americans to realize that we need to reclaim our organizations, specifically the educational organizations that have been attacking us from within.
Yeah, no doubt. Marissa, that was awesome. Come back and see me soon. I love you guys at Prager. Keep doing what you do. Marissa Strike, how about that? She was something. All right. Hey, let me tell you about something important. Everybody loves the inside baseball stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the special access. Who doesn't want that? Everyone wants that. I mean, I never get special access to anything, but still, you can have special access if you'd like. The first. Go become a First TV supporter, and you get access to things like all of our specials, stuff on demand, the firsttv.com/support, become a little bit of an insider type thing, and you get more of me. All right? We have Light in the Mood next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I'm sorry. I'm already laughing. Look, there's nothing that lightens my mood like watching Democrats and how they speak about the various minority groups they claim to represent. And they don't represent them. And look, I'm not under the impression that Republicans are different, that Republicans are laying awake at night stressed about you or me and our issues. So I know that. But for Democrats, it really is so cold-blooded. You see, because they're communists, all they do is look around for various coalitions of people, and they grab those coalitions, and they say, hey, I'll be your champion. And they pretend like they care, and they get political power from it. You've seen this forever. But they really don't care at all. And what happens is, after a while, they start to look down on all the coalitions. They start to almost disrespect the coalitions who support them. It's a really weird relationship, but you see it over and over and over again when they have these kind of bizarre, honest moments when they speak about the communities they supposedly represent. Kathy Hochul is a senior citizen. She's not some 15-year-old who randomly spouts off something dumb at the mouth. She's a senior citizen. And when she got up and said this, it was so revealing of how Kathy Hochul thinks about Black people in the Black community. Whenever she thinks of the Black community, which she never really does, but whenever it comes up, they are just a bunch of idiot, uneducated barbarians to Kathy Hochul. They don't even know the word computer.
Young Black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges. Young Black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is.
Look, it's revealing. It's hilarious. For Kathy Hochul, it's not like she's ever going to go down there or anything like that or actually care. For her, it's just, you know, it's like the Sahara in Africa or something like that. It's the Bronx. They're still in mud huts, right, Gary? Oh, whatever. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.